Hello, everybody. This is William Det Pilar, and this is Points on the Board, where sports and politics intersect. Thank you, Colin Kaepernick. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. We got a great show for you tonight. We are going to talk about the WNBA and the lockout and what all that means. And then we are going to talk about the same San Francisco 49ers that put Colin Kaepernick on the mat, first as a quarterback, then as a political activist, because these same 49ers have gone political again. This time it was Mr. Bosa. I want to say Joey, but it's Nick Bosa, isn't it, Bill? And let's welcome my co-host here, Mr. Bill Ross, the other side of the husband-wife duo of Annette Ross, who is my co-host, one of my co-hosts on the Fired Up. I had to think of that for a second. Fired Up, our conservative talk podcast. Check that out. You can check this podcast out and others like it at grumbliesmedia.com, as well as their social media platforms, YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, under the profile handle Grumblies Media. Bill, welcome aboard. I see you're sporting, what is that, the Saints jacket this time?
It's my Chargers, San Diego Charger throwback military appreciation jersey from years ago.
Oh, it's black, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost black. It's a dark, dark green, so I see it as black, but
There you go. I remember the Chargers. I went to a few games after it, but I'll never forget their first game back in the playoffs under Bobby Ross when he turned them around from perennial losers. Yep. I was in the stands, and I don't know what they call it, but you know, when you have somebody above you, and it was raining, and it was pouring rain at points, I could stick my arm out like this, just stick it out like this, and the rain would hit from here. I was like, we were like the lucky ones. We were not getting wet.
So you were up in the top area there. I know which area you're in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was great seats, about 40-yard line. That was Aaron Merriam Butts, Stan Humphries. That was a Super Bowl. I don't know if they went to the Super Bowl that year.
But that same crew brought them to the Super Bowl and didn't go so well in the Super Bowl, but
My roommate was a big Chargers homer. He didn't say a word. And I was a big Steve Young fan. But even I felt bad and stopped cracking after like the first quarter. That game from the get-go was just not what whoever televised it wanted. Got worse as it went.
Yeah.
So let's get to it.
Yep.
I wanted to talk tonight about the WNBA and the lockout. I find the WNBA fascinating because its whole foundation is built off one person. Nobody cares about the NBA, WNBA. Nobody knows who these women were. We may have known of them in passing when they made the news here or there, but 99.9% of these women, we didn't know, we didn't care. It was growing, but growing so slow that its long-term viability was in question. And in fact, if it had not been for Caitlin Clark, it would have lost $53 million this year. Because of Caitlin Clark, they only lost $40 million. And that may not – you may go, hey, that's only $13 million difference. It's a massive amount of difference for one person to have been able. So what do these morons at the WNBA do? Well, obviously the WNBA is at a critical juncture because they are still hemorrhaging money. They opted out of the CBA. For those of you out there not aware of it, that is a collective bargaining agreement. And that could lead to a player lockout if negotiations falter. And this is what makes it precarious. The players just all of a sudden, they think they walk on water. They had a record-breaking season. Caitlin Clark's numbers were beyond phenomenal. And even with her exit, the numbers were better than they were last year's, which you call the Caitlin Clark effect. They had gathered fans because of her, and the WNBA finals did better than the previous year. Now, the ratings were halved once Caitlin Clark, which is something they need to understand, but don't seem to want to. So what do the players want to do? They want better salaries, improved benefits, and enhanced working conditions. They, on average, earn about $75,000 to $100,000 a year. That is still more than the average American. Yeah. And most of these women live beyond their means. and thus they're forced to go play overseas, where some of them can earn millions. So the established leagues overseas are looking at this lockout as an opportunity to offer not only Caitlin Clark big dollars to come play if the women do strike or don't come back, but it's also going to open up a whole plethora of issues. Bill, we're going to get into some of the specifics, but what's your take? I mean, Bill played college sports, people. He's a big sports nut like the rest of us. He's seen strikes from baseball to football. I'm sure you remember the player strikes from the late 80s. So he's seen it all. So what are your thoughts in terms of a potential long-term consequences for the league if the negotiations turn into a prolonged work stoppage, especially concerning fan loyalty and growth trajectory? And before you answer, the reason I say fan loyalty and growth trajectory, I don't think they have a clue that 90% of us are watching because of Caitlin Clark. They try to create these manufactured rivalries that aren't there. Right. We are watching for one player. So what are your thoughts about the larger consequences?
Well, for one thing, I agree. The only reason I was watching is because of her too, right? That was my main focus. And also the rude welcoming she had from all the other players who need to realize she's driving the popularity, right? So anyways, it's an inopportune time to do this. I was looking at some of the statistics on growth, and they actually break it down from 2-year-olds through 17-year-olds.
Wow.
I don't know any 2-year-old that's watching the WNBA. So I think they're reaching, you know, in that group, but increased by like 40%. So, those younger, if that's where it's coming from, the younger fans, if indeed there's a work stoppage, will move on to something else. They're not going to stay, you know, waiting for the WNBA to come back and play, right? So, right. You know, the momentum that they have, it's early to do this. They should wait if there's another time to actually do it, because they're going to get in the way of their momentum with the younger fans and then casual fans too, like myself. I mean, I do not watch the WNBA, but I do when Caitlin Clark is playing, right? So it's going to affect my viewership as well. And also from a business perspective, I think they're overshooting at the moment. So I think the long-term consequences are negative, because you need your fan base and you need to keep riding that wave and increasing the popularity and get out of the red. I mean, they're still in the red. So, if you maintain that, your league won't be around that long. And then all these other leagues, as you said, around the world will cherry pick these players away, because they want to make a living. So, you know, if they have better opportunities, they're going to move on. And then, you know, there's the unrivaled league, if I'm not mistaken, that's putting a bid in or trying to attract Caitlin Clark. So, and you know, you could build something around her, I think, you know, with other players, obviously. That's my take on that.
I think you brought up a good point here. And that point is the fact that you have leagues around the world. Some of these players can earn a few million, the top tier players. Others learn to earn a few hundred thousand. Some of the lesser players will earn what they're earning here. But the point is, those are leagues that are established, they have fan bases, and they can compete. The league here is losing money.
Yep.
The league here does not realize Caitlin Clark is why we're watching. They're looking at a $75 million capital raise from a couple years ago. They're looking at increased viewership and a broader audience reach, but they're not looking at the business. And if the significant increases in TV viewership are because of Clark. There's data out there that will show 1 million to 2 million people watch her games, 300 to 500,000 watch games she's not in. When it's a good rivalry, the Caitlin Clark effect, you'll get 800,000, 900,000, but they don't eclipse her. So they are confusing what leverage they believe they have, because a prolonged lockout will impact them. So my question to you then is, well, you've kind of answered it. The fans will leave. I don't watch the WNBA as much as others do, because I tried to watch it. It is some ugly basketball. Yeah. I mean, it's some, there was somebody who put a video out of the final game in the WNBA finals with, in about a minute and a half, like three air balls, an ugly, sloppy play, a lot of walking. It's not good. They play sound fundamental basketball. And what makes Caitlin Clark so popular is she brings Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan type moves to the game.
Yeah.
But it's still ugly basketball to watch. So I read up more about it because I find it fascinating. So how much would the league accept in terms of the pushback, in terms of like, will they give? What I'm trying to ask, Bill, is they're losing, they lost $40
million. Yep.
They were projected to lose $53 million. They've been losing on average over $25 million a year. They're completely in the red. How much will they actually give before they go, enough of this nonsense? Plus, that said, if it's a prolonged work stoppage, I see these players going to Europe. And then and as far as the unrivaled league, I don't see them doing anything because their popularity is based off what Caitlin Clark's done for this league. And it's all based in Miami. So there's no fans to go to each city, you know? There's no traveling. It's hard to build a fan base when you're all in one spot. So how much would the league accept before they go enough with this nonsense? And on unrivaled, just digressing slightly, do you see your unrivaled having any impact without Caitlin Clark? And if there's a work stoppage here, it's like we live in a society now where our attention span is the shortest it's ever been in the history of this country.
I think you have to, unrivaled has to have Caitlin Clark or it's a done deal. It doesn't even get off the ground, right? So, you know, people.
Well, they have the money, Bill. They have the money to get it off the ground, they say.
Well, they might be able to get it off the ground, but continuing the fluid forward motion without her, you know, you need a couple people like that to start and create that buzz that they can continue throughout the season, right? So, they need her. So if they don't, then that they might have the funding, but they have to do it with stars to start, sort of like, the USFL. Herschel Walker was an example I'll use. You know, the Generals and Trump got Herschel Walker to go to the USFL first, and that was a huge moment because it created a lot of buzz right away, and people watched because of that, right? And there were other players too. But so anyways, going back to the unrivaled, I think you need Caitlin Clark. I don't think they're gonna put up with much because if they give too much, the league fails anyway, right? I mean, it'll end up.
See, exactly. Bill, this isn't like the NFL where there's billions in jeopardy of being lost because the TV agreements are like a work stoppage or anything happens. They get payback in like free advertising and that's what that costs the league. Gotcha. Now, how important is it for the WNBA to have Caitlin Clark actively involved in pushing and pressing and using her leverage to help the WNBPA, the WNBB, the Women's National Basketball Players Association? If she sits it out and golfs, she's got her $30 million shoe deal. She can go play for the high end of the contract, $4, $5, $10 million, overseas. How crucial is it for them to get Caitlin Clark involved in these talks, or does it matter?
Well, I think she needs to be involved because if she's not, you don't want her disappearing, right? I mean, you want to keep her engaged, I think, because, quite frankly, she's doing the league a favor, I think, to some degree, right? I mean, I know she wants to be in the States, but she has the shoe deals. She has other, other sponsorships that bring in revenue for her. And she can make a lot more money going somewhere else. So I think you do need to keep her involved in the process, to try to come out with, one, it keeps the fans interested if she's involved. So if her name is out, it keeps them engaged, right, through the process. And if not, I think it really weakens their position as well. The problem is with the league is they are in the red. Like you said, it's not the NFL. So they have to take a stand at some point. And the players are the ones that are going to have to bend more. They don't think so right now, but they're the ones who are going to have to bend because if there's no league, then there's nowhere to play. And for some of them, they can move on and play in other leagues around the world. But most of them can't, I'm going to guess, cannot go to other leagues, right? So you're going to have your superstars move on. No one's going to watch, you know, the league without superstars. So, you know, it's in the best interest of both parties to get it resolved fairly quickly. But I don't see a whole lot changing, you know, with a new agreement.
Right, right. I agree. Right now, what happened? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, where'd my notes go? I moved them here for Bosa notes, but we're going to get the Bosa here in a second. Okay. So, right now the league aims, the WNBPA aims to secure a fair share of the business players that bill. Again, the business is in the red. The owners aren't going to like, you want us to cut what we're bringing in with you guys when we're already in the red? What are you going to do to contribute financially to this? That's problem number one. They also call this a defining moment for the WNBA and progress, quote, progress in general. That's another term for y'all are racist unless you give us a cut of the pie. And that's pretty much what it means. Then the WNBPA executive director said that the players are opting out to fully professionalize the league. That's a push league play for one thing. Two, $40 million again. I'm going to keep going to that all night. They don't seem to understand. So this guy, Ogu Agwumiki, he talks about transformational change. How do you create transformational change when you're in the red? And what in your – that's how I took it in terms of professionalizing the league. To me, they're just being greedy-ass players with no legitimate points. Then they said it's a defining moment in progress. To me, that's code for the race card, and that won't go well long-term with the players. I think they need to tread carefully there because the most popular player that they need for this to succeed has had more than her fair share of racist hate towards her by players and the media. Monica McNuff, the ESPN analyst, came out and said the league is queer and black and should remain so, period, end of story. So to me, it's like, they have no clue right now, and they're reaching. Those are my takes, Bill. I'm not putting my words in your mouth. I just want to hear, what are your takes in terms of the defining moment? They want to professionalize the league. They need progress.
Well, I'm not even sure what that means. I mean, they have a league. It's a professional league. The only way you do that is by the league getting better, better players, better, you know, better games, better play, so to speak. So – that's how it gets better. And then there's expansion. They're overvaluing, you know, the whole situation, right? I mean, they're really good basketball players. You know, they're great basketball players, some good, some okay. But the league is not really relevant. I'm going to say this. It's not a relevant league when compared to other professional leagues. So, and it's in the red. Like you said, there are baseball fans that will not watch baseball anymore because of the baseball strike, right? That's baseball. Yeah, right. That's baseball, right? So, I mean, you know, let's break it down. You think anybody's going to stay with the WNBA if they just see the players, you know, being snarky and feeling like they're, you know, worth more than they're being paid and on and on and on? It's not going to work. The league will not survive. So the league has to play hardball with the players.
And right. Here's some of the problems. They want increased salary caps in correlation with TV deals. Again, $40 million in the red. The TV deal needs them to get out of the red. They want improved pension and back pay. You know, if this league goes under, where are they going to get that from? You know, they want enhanced family planning and child care benefits. They want to be treated for a league in the red. They want this. You're talking millions of dollars here. And millions of dollars. They want to reduce the required years of service for benefits. They want to improve the minimum standards for game and practice facilities. They want better retirement benefits. Did I say that already? And then the key quote, they say it's not about the salaries, but in every article that was said multiple times over and over and over. And, you know, they don't seem to understand, again, that Caitlin Clark is the reason for all this increased attention. Well, and she's on the golf course. So my question to you is the possibility of the league seeing multi-million dollar players feasible? Because here's the problem. Yeah. Say Caitlin Clark earns $5 million. You know some of these players, they're like, I'm as good as her. Aja over with the Vegas, Serena Ionescu over with the Liberty. But they don't bring people in.
No.
They don't have to move the larger venues when the Vegas Aces come to town. They don't need to move the larger venues when the Liberty Clouds, I don't know what their name is, come
to town. Right.
So and then you got people living beyond their means. Angel Reese, they don't need to move. Nobody has moved to a larger venue when Angel Reese and Chicago Sky come to town. And she says, I'm living above my means. Well, that's nice and dandy. You earn more than the average American. That type of talk, that type of attitude. Today's player, today's youth are arrogant, pajama girls, and that won't play well with the public. So is the league supposed to just keep losing money for its investors while the players take all the revenue and then the risk? You're a commodity trader. You work with these type of large companies, or you see these numbers, you know. Do you see these companies, some of these big time investors going, oh, people taking all this risk?
And no, I actually don't. Who wants to get involved in this mess when you're possibly looking at a work stoppage? So nobody's going to get involved right now, for one. Two, the stats or the wants that you just went through. Does the W stand for women or woke? Because give me a break. Child care, if it's black and queer, queers don't have kids, so you don't need child care, because I know they're not all adopting kids. So that's funny to me, right? They just, all of this is such nonsense. They can't see themselves in this argument, right? And without the league, they wouldn't have anywhere to play. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody else is going to – no corporate sponsors are going to get involved and do more when it looks like they might not play. And it is arrogant. The talk is arrogant. I mean, women, from the data I saw, make up like 45% of the viewership, right? That won't last if you have work stoppage, right? It's just not going to. And then what happens if that's really the case – you can't get corporate boxes. You can't expand, can't build new stadiums and new arenas or use the corporate part of the arena if they're, where the Lakers play. There might not be as much corporate activity. But you need all of those partners to grow and be able to spend money on players and expanding and to continue to add teams too. So I don't see how anybody's going to get involved. This is like a bad trade right now. So you mentioned commodities, right? If you have a bad trade, you get the hell out of it and start over, right? This is beginning to look like a bad trade to me, this league.
Right. So they're looking at the 2026 media rights that's going to give them $200 million annually. Now the league costs approximately it's unknown, but some people speculate about $100 million. So theoretically, they could the league sees a profit, but these leagues pay taxes, so that $200 million annually gets whacked to about $100 million. So you're talking about the league finally maybe breaking even, but that's temporary because the ratings will eventually plateau. Caitlin Clark can't play in every game, and the hatred toward—I mean, she may not last. The way they try to take her out. She had 17 flagrant fouls against her last season, the most of any player.
And they didn't protect her. You know what's so amazing about it is, talking about reverse racism, they didn't really even protect her. Her players didn't always protect her. The officiate, they didn't protect her. The league didn't protect her. It was a complete joke.
Exactly. I guarantee you the league will protect her now. There's also concerns with how that $200 million number came out. And the WNBPA says, you guys are undervaluing the league. Y'all have been losing a minimum of $25 million a year.
Yeah.
And now you're talking expansion, more players. So this is easily $100 million a year. Now, again, according to The Athletic, great site. It's old school reporting there. I hate and loathe the New York Times with The Athletic, and they're all leftists over there. Actually, I'd say about 40% of the reporters I was cutting checks to 15 years ago when they were up and comers. You know, right. It's fun. I went to about 200 reporters. It's funny how I see all their names. None of them will return a call, you know, because they come out as conservative. Isn't that, they've stopped following me, et cetera, et cetera. But, so the distribution of media rights revenue to teams is also unclear. So they're making a lot of assumptions, you know.
Yeah, they're making a lot of assumptions. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I mean, media rights, I mean, that can change, right? I mean, that's a huge assumption that you're going to have $200 million for media rights. I mean, who's covering it? I mean, ESPN, right? I don't see any other networks diving in with big dollars to take it away from ESPN, because one of the things that happens with these leagues is when they go to bid, right, the bidding – between networks increases the value of the league because the winner is paying more than the previous deal that was made, right? And so now they share these deals because they're so large. I don't think there's five networks jumping in to cover the WNBA and take away from other things that they'll be putting on television.
Well, the problem here is that ESPN was paying about $60 million per year.
Yeah.
And they went to $200 million all because of Caitlin Clark.
Right.
To me, this is a gross negligence on whoever negotiated that deal. And they, ESPN has done this in the past.
If they don't have, there's got to be something in that contract.
Well, there are. There's
you know, if they go through a work stoppage, that's not going to happen, right? Like, so it's going to be really interesting to see how that pans out. But you can't just assume that's coming because you need to be playing to get that.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got an idea for you. I got an idea for you, William. You want to hear it?
What's that?
Get a 7-foot guy who thinks he's a woman and let her play in that, or him in that league. You think they'll be happy? I'd love to see your response to that.
Dennis Rodman.
Let's get a 7-footer. Right? That'll cost you entertainment. Maybe there'll be more people watching when that happens. I won't watch, but I bet you get some other things happening. I mean, I'd love to hear their reaction to that with all this woke nonsense in their wants. How about we do that and see how they respond to it?
You know, and like I said, there could be a league that will step up and pay Caitlin Clark $10 million a year.
Yeah.
And draw the fans, especially in a European league. You know, there's a handful of leagues that you know, that's how the demand. I think this is – I mean, she's the reason for attracting viewers. She's the reason for increasing merchandise sales. She had a record-breaking impact during her rookie season.
Yep.
The irony, again, lies in the envy, jealousy, and, yes, racial hate toward her from other players due to her success. And they're fighting it, meaning they're denying all this. They came, you know, they come out and say, oh, no, you're watching because of these players. No, we're not. You know, we don't like you asking these questions when it comes towards how the league, women in the league are attacking Caitlin Clark. You can't be asking weapons. It's like they're handling this in a nightmare fashion. And eventually, something could happen, and she goes, screw this, I'm out of here. A flagrant foul, injury. If she gets injured in the season, the numbers are going to drop. So I think ESPN will regret this contract. And like you said, there's probably safeguards in there. So but her dream was to play in the WNBA. She's played in it. You know, she's played in it. So at what point does her side go, look, you got a nice $30 million contract, well, that's only $15 million after taxes. You're not making squat. You have a chance now to set yourself up with generational wealth if you go over here and play for $10 million guaranteed for like 5 years, you know, or 20 years. I'm not sorry, or $20 million. There will be a bidding war for her if she allows it to happen. What are your final words on this, Mr. Bill?
Well, I agree with you on the bidding war. I think, as always, people are overvaluing themselves. So the players are overvaluing themselves. The league's going to have to take a hard stance to stay in business, you know, or there is no talk. It's all wasted time. So the league is not important to sports fans as they think it is, right? In general, I'm talking about. And if you're relying on women to keep watching at a 45% rate, I think you're in trouble too. Because as those women get older, they're not watching as much. Because it seems to me that they're using this demographic of 2, which is a bizarre place to start, 2 and 17, right? So, I think that they're in big trouble if this actually ends up creating a work stoppage. And it's the best interest for the players and the league to not have that happen and come up with some kind of agreement. But I think the league has the edge against the players in this whole situation.
I agree. Do you think that this will be a prolonged strike, or do you think they're actually going to be able to negotiate something?
I think it's going to actually stop. I think they're going to have work stoppage. Because the players are so arrogant and they think they're so self-important from what I'm hearing in all the banter, right? Which is not what you would hear from Caitlin Clark. That's one of the things that's so interesting is she's well-rounded. She's, you know, a role model on the court, off the court, keeps things clean, so to speak. But these other players don't. So they're out of their minds. So I think there is going to be a work stoppage.
I agree also. I believe there will be a work stoppage that's going to deal with the patience of its investors. Since its inception, the league has lost approximately $400 million.
Yeah, right.
So this isn't about, hey, you got a new TV cut. It's like, no, we need to make back our $400 million.
Right.
You know? So we will keep you guys updated on this storyline. And if you haven't, it's not uploaded yet, but look for it over the next day or two. A buzzer beaters clip, which is not a points on the board because it was based pure play basketball. Bill, I gave my pitch for why the WNBA Indiana Fever need to lure former bad boy Bill Laimbeer out of retirement. Two world champions with the championships with the Detroit Pistons.
Yes.
Three WNBA championships as a WNBA head coach and four finals, including 30 playoff wins on 21 losses. The man's a winner. They need to bring him out of retirement. You know why? There wouldn't be 17 flagrant fouls on her. There'd be a few of them, and that team would come out and would beat the hell out of her. We'd have some Detroit Pistons bad boy style fighting out there.
Oh, yeah. And that would create some excitement.
Oh, yeah, and hockey. Instead, we want Stephanie White, who's never won anything, but we are really close, me and the basketball operator. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. That's why the league's having trouble.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right. Let us move on to what I call the political sports playbook. Nick Bosa's bold statement and the NFL's divided stage.
Start with you, Brock. You guys have scored 6 points in the first half. What was said during halftime? Hey, all right.
There it is. So you really can't tell. Right there. Make America great again. Unheard of. Would you have ever? Hold on.
All right.
And then he runs
Nick
off.
What
are your thoughts on that, Big Bill?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful moment. You know, I think it's great. You know, you saw the way they reacted too. It's almost like they knew it was coming, that he was going to do that. I actually think my take on it is, you know, after Trump was, you know, they attempted assassination, right?
Twice.
Yeah, which it's funny that that's not news anymore. And now the Democrats can call him, you know, refer to him as Hitler and compare it to Germany. And that's not going to create that kind of environment. I mean, it's just the whole thing is nuts. You know, in the MSG deal they just did, you know, I'm a history buff and a nut. And I said to myself, I guarantee you they pull out that 1939 rally in MSG. And sure enough, they pulled it out and compared to it. And there's been several other rallies in MSG. You know, Roosevelt did one. And there were a couple others.
Democrats. The 1929 rally. The 1929 Democratic Convention. Was the KKK convention, the Democrat. And it's still the same KKK mentalities. Para mi Latinos out there, for my brethren, brothers.
Yeah.
What has the Democrat Party done for us? Really? What has they done?
Not much.
Exactly.
They haven't done much.
And numbers prove that. But William, he's not really. I had more in my pocket 4 years ago than I have now. 70% inflation when I go buy eggs. I can't make my eggs anymore, people.
No, it's a complete joke. So I love the fact that he did it. And you know, like I said, it looked like they expected it. I think, like in baseball, when the assassination attempt was made, you know, there were after doubles and triples and home runs, they were doing the arm up in tribute to Trump when he got up and raised his fist, right? So athletes in general, I believe, in general, are sick and tired, and this drives it, are sick and tired of men pretending to be women and playing in women's sports. And I think that drives a lot of this, you know, this momentum where you're seeing athletes come out and be a little bit more vocal about their position on things, because, you know, that drives me crazy as an athlete, right? And then you see all the other nonsense that's coming on. So I think it's terrific. You know, let it fly. Let everybody put the MAGA hat on or whatever they want to put on. You know, Colin Kaepernick took a knee. Is he playing in the league anymore? No, he's not. It wasn't collusion. He's a pain in the ass.
He wasn't playing in the league because he just did not grow as a quarterback. All right.
Well, he wasn't that good.
Yeah, he photobombed. Well, he never grew. He never learned how to read. He kept trying to do things with his legs, and there was only one team that kept falling for it. That was the Packers. So Nick Bosa, he photobombed him, as we saw. He pointed at the hat, as we saw. And Melissa Stark acknowledged Bosa's message. She acknowledged it because she didn't know what to say or do. That's today's journalism, you know?
Right.
So my question to you, Bill, how might Bosa's actions impact team dynamics and public perception of the 49ers?
Well, I don't think it's going to do anything with team dynamics, because I think there's enough people, there's enough players on that team where let's make America great again too, right? So that's going to balance that out. He's not an oddball on the team. I can guarantee you that. Okay, right. So that's going to push that out the window. I don't think that's going to be a problem in the locker room at all.
What about the public perception, considering it's San Francisco, not only the gayest city in the country, but also the most leftist city in the country?
So maybe it balances the city off a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I think that the city might get upset, or some people might get upset. But, you know, I don't think that there's going to be, you know, a lot of pushback when it comes to that. It's a game. He had the hat on. He photobombed the interview. That's his, you know, that's his right to do. I know the NFL has their rules and regulations that they, you know, didn't enforce for BLM. And now let's see, are they going to enforce it for this? I mean, you know, the NFL does things like that. You and I have talked about that before, but I don't think there's going to be a lot made of it. I think it's going to, you know, go away or continue. And I hope it does. I hope somebody puts MAGA on the back of their helmet. I mean, they can put peace and love. Let's put MAGA on the back, too. Strap the you know who would have done that is Jim McMahon. Put the headband on with MAGA on
every
it.
Week. Every week he was fined for it, too.
Yeah,
now, Bosa was asked about this political statement on national TV, and he just said it's an important time, meaning the importance of this election. And he didn't elaborate. Now, the question that I have, which I have my answer, should athletes use the platform for political statements, and what are the potential consequences? There was none for Colin Kaepernick, so there should be none here. Real quick, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. There shouldn't be anything. I mean, you have to be balanced both sides. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something, because it's the NFL. And they bent a lot and turned into a different league. But I don't think anything should happen.
I agree. Okay. So the NFL has, again, you already talked about it. The NFL has rules about players wearing league approved merchandise during the interviews. They did not fine people who wore BLM garbage. I think they're going to try to fine them.
Yeah. I think they're going to, I agree that they're going to try to fine them. Or try to do something. Maybe it'll be a slap on the wrist fine or something like that. But I bet you they come up with some way to try to do something.
Right. And for the audience out there who may disagree with me, what did 2 years, $2 billion worth of property damage, people murdered, maimed, injured, what did that do for the black community? Look at your wallets today. Look at the inflation rate today. Look at the jobs reports today. Look at everything. But then look at the Democrats, those in power. They're earning much more and they've had their way. And what did they do to reward you? They're bringing in illegal immigrants by the millions to replace you. So that's right. Why I viewed BLM with disdain. They use you, people. They use you. So, Bill, Bosa did, and those are my words, not Bill's, but Bosa did acknowledge it's a little easier nowadays to express such views. He mentioned there's a different climate. What do you think attributed to that? But do you think this is going to make more athletes just across the board more comfortable to come out for Trump?
Oh, I think so for sure. I mean, you know, Buckner, the kicker for KC, took a lot of grief. And, you know, the further down the chain you get, the less grief is given, right? Because it gives more people the power to come out and do that. So I think that more people will definitely come out, you know, and show their true colors when it comes to that topic. Because it is a very important time. It really is.
Right. And speaking of that, you know, he has received support from some studs. Former Bears star, if he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, I assume he is. It's been 5 years. Brian Urlacher, he shows support for Bosa. Urlacher commented, "Make America Great Again," with two American flag emojis on Bosa's Instagram post. And Urlacher has been a Trump supporter since his first presidency. In fact, Trump kind of pardoned, I think, his brother Casey. You know, as you stated, Harrison Butker came out and endorsed Trump for the 2024 election, and Lawrence Taylor and Otis Anderson. Lawrence Taylor, one of the all-time great linebackers. He's retired, and Otis Anderson, who played for the Cardinals and the Giants. If I'm correct, they're both Super Bowl winners. Mm-hmm. You know, they endorsed Trump. They didn't officially endorse him. They pretty much may as well have endorsed him the way they were talking about him. So there are players coming out. So how do you think the connections between athletes and politicians how will this affect that relationship down the road? Do you think more politicians will be looking for these athletes and encourage them to endorse them? And this does bring in diversity. Hey, to the left, y'all want diversity. I want it too. But I also want diversity of political thought amongst
people. Now that newspapers officially don't endorse presidential candidates anymore, maybe they'll look at athletes.
Just want to endorse Kamala.
so maybe they will. That's right. Maybe they will look to athletes. I mean, the pendulum has swung so far to the left that I think it finally pushed people, you know, like the athletes and whatnot, you know, who are silent most of the time. And you hear the phonies in Hollywood and all these singers and guys like Robert De Niro. I won't watch another one of his freaking films ever. He's an idiot. Okay.
Oh, you know what? I'm the same way. If you come out with that much vitriol, it's like that Reacher guy, the guy who plays Reacher. I love that show. I'm like, you're on your own. I'm not going to watch another episode of that show.
I mean, first of all, the people in Hollywood, talking about people who believe they're more important than they really are, all of them, right? So you have them talking, you have the entertainers talking, you know, all of these people, excuse me. And so the athletes, I think, finally say, you know what, maybe it's about time we start speaking up, because they're fairly quiet most of the time. And so, you know, now I think we might be seeing that. Shit, if I was running, I'd love to have some local athletes support me, right? If I'm running for office, I'd love to have that. So I think we might see more of that, you know, down the road. But it definitely offsets some of the nonsense from these actors and musicians and entertainers that have no idea what they're talking about, by the way, because none of this affects them at all. It's like the politicians who talk about busing kids in from a different area to a better school while their kids are all private school. Well, hell, that's a pretty easy decision to make when that's how it's working.
Exactly. No, I agree. You know, I just think overall the winds of change. I just don't know if I believe in the saying that's going around, too big to rig, meaning you got to get out there and vote, because mail-in ballots were created for one reason. Take it from somebody who came from a country with two dictators who saw fake elections, meaning he who controls the office of registrars, that we've seen Broward County, We've seen in Pennsylvania with 2,500 ballots. They're going to try to fix this race. Now, I'm not saying that 100%, but as we saw in Pennsylvania, as we've seen historically in Broward County, in Chicago, as we've seen in Los Angeles, in Minnesota, in Arizona throughout the years, statistically, it's an impossibility not to have voter fraud. So make sure you get out there and you vote, people. And with that, Bill, any final words on the WNBA lockout and Mr. Nick Bosa's MAGA hat photobomb?
Well, you know, in regards to the WNBA, I believe there's going to be a lockout. And I can't wait till that 7-foot guy pretends to be a woman. And since he is a woman, according to the rules, he gets to play with them. So I can't wait to see that. And I love the hat and I keep it up. I'm not a 49er fan, but I'll cheer for him if he keeps wearing that MAGA hat.
Oh, exactly, exactly. There you have it, folks. A tight episode, the WNBA lockout. We will bring you updates of that. We will also bring you any updates if there's any fallout from what Nick Bosa did. There shouldn't be. But then again, we live in a hypocritical society. After all, it's Democrats who say Trump is fascist, Trump is Nazi. Yet everything the Democrats have done to take away our freedom, to take away our guns, take away our First Amendment by saying we don't have the right to it. Oh, that's fascism, people. Para mí, Latinos, look in the mirror and understand what they're telling you and think about what they're telling you. This has been a Points on the Board broadcast. For Mr. Bill Ross and myself, William Del Pilar, before I forget, check this podcast and others out at grumbliesmedia.com as well as our social media platforms, YouTube, Apple, Pandora, and Spotify. And do not forget to like, share, and most importantly, subscribe to this podcast. Thank you so much, everybody. Once again, this is William Del Pilar for Bill Ross. This has been a Points on the Board production. And until next time, we both bid you adieu.